Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Hey, it's Paris, back with another video, as well as this is audio on Gamertag Radio. So if you're listening to this on Gamertag Radio and you want to see my beautiful face, go over to my YouTube channel and check out the video feed as well. So I want to talk about GDC, and I want to talk more specifically about NVIDIA GeForce. So during my time at GDC, NVIDIA GeForce invited me out to check out everything that they announced during their GeForce On community update. So this video and audio is being sponsored by NVIDIA GeForce, and we're going to talk about everything that I got to get hands-on experience with during my couple days at GDC. So again, want to thank NVIDIA GeForce for being gracious hosts to have me out to San Francisco to get hands-on and see everything that they were talking about. Now, the biggest thing that they talked about during their GeForce On update was NVIDIA DLSS 4.5 with multi-frame generation coming soon on March 31st. And what is different about DLSS 4 going up to DLSS 4.5? Now we're getting up to 6 times multi-frame generation from the previous 4 times multi-frame generation, as well as they are now introducing dynamic multi-frame generation, which intelligently adjusts the number of generated frames that you're seeing during gameplay. So in simple terms, let's break it down this way. And this is also being paired with their NVIDIA app. So you can use DLSS Override to set this in the app. Anything that takes advantage of multi-frame generation will be able to use this new dynamic multi-frame generation via that NVIDIA app. So with dynamic, what I'll be able to do is, and this is coming to a couple different games very soon, which I'll talk about in a second, 007 First Light as well as Control Resonant. But with dynamic multi-frame generation, I got hands-on experience with this during some of my demos, is I can go into the NVIDIA app and my monitor that I use is 144 hertz refresh rate. So I can set it to, hey, I want you to go up to 144 frames per second, and then the game will automatically, depending on the scene, whatever performance needs are needed, will keep me at that consistent 144 frames per second, along with giving me all the performance that I would want coming from DLSS 4.5. Automatically, I don't have to go in and change anything. It's doing it all on the fly. I got to see this happen in real time. Very impressive to be able to see how it will scale depending on the scene that you're in, the action that you're in, no matter what the game is. And like I said before, using this via Override in the NVIDIA app, which will be in beta that's coming out on March 31st as well, you'll be able to just essentially set it and forget it for the games that you want to be able to play it as. But games like Control Resonant, and I got to get a presentation for 007 First Light. If you want to actually just go in and set up DLSS 4.5, because these games will natively take advantage of DLSS 4.5, you'll be able to go in and set this in the game menus, the game options yourself, either way you want to do it. Being able to do this myself during the demos, I prefer the app personally, because like I said, I can just say, hey, go on the app. Here's dynamic multi-frame generation. Here's the performance that I'm looking to get out of this via DLSS. Here's the frame rate that I want it set at to match my refresh rate on my monitor, and the game and DLSS 4.5 will do the rest. I don't have to manually intervene or do anything. So I thought that was very impressive. But going into 007 First Light, like I said, I got to sit in on a presentation with the devs. We had a Q&A after as well. And the highlight of that was showing off path tracing in 007 First Light and just how impressive it was, because we were getting this side by side comparison. So, you know, I've talked about path tracing in the past. Games like Cyberpunk 2077, obviously, was one of the first games to use path tracing, and along with ray reconstruction, it's just giving you dynamic lighting, the reflections, just everything that you're not going to get without path tracing enabled from a lighting standpoint. This is now happening, you know, in real time in the game, and it's real reflections. And they were showing this off with 007 First Light. Very impressive. Control Resonant will also have path tracing And when that comes out later this year. And like I said, I went through some demos hands on, got to see some other games that were also taking advantage of path tracing. And we were kind of doing the night and day difference between the two. And like I said, when you see them side by side, you realize just how impressive path tracing with that reconstruction can truly be. Now, some of the other things that I got to see when I was with NVIDIA GeForce is they are also doing a new RTX Mega Geometry Foliage system. And, you know, Mega Geometry was first introduced with Alan Wake 2, but now with this new RTX Mega Geometry, you know, it's going to improve frame rates, reducing VR RAM usage in foliage filled environments, to keep them in simple terms, right? So Control Resonant will also be taking advantage of this when it comes out later this year. But they also announced that along with a partnership with CD Projekt Red, CD Projekt Red will be integrating NVIDIA RTX Mega Geometry Foliage into The Witcher 4. And if you played The Witcher 3 and you know the continent, think about all the foliage that you're going to see in The Witcher 4. Seeing that game be able to take advantage of that is going to be a sight to behold. Can't wait to see it in action. Really excited for that. But that was a partnership that was announced during GDC as well. Now, RTX Remix. This is really cool. I've talked about RTX Remix in the past, as this is essentially a modding tool. Games like the original Portal, Half-Life 2 famously both took advantage of this, and I kind of highlighted them on the channel. But now they're updating RTX Remix, and this is, a modding platform for RTX AI PCs designed to transform classic games with advanced path tracing technology. And the game that they showed off was Quake 3. And using Quake 3, they were able to show off just some of the improvements that you're going to see with RTX Remix, and was really cool. Again, that side-by-side comparison that they were able to do of here's the original Quake 3, here it is with RTX Remix, and you're just seeing, again, the path tracing, the lighting perform, you know, increase, and just, I'm doing this in real time. The path tracing, you were able to see the lighting enhancements. That's the word I'm looking for, compared to the original game. Again, you're taking an old game and you're now adding in path tracing to it, and it just completely transforms the game, and it just damn near makes it look brand new. It really does. And like I said, you're seeing now just an example of how that looks in real time, and very impressed with that. Now, something else I was able to do while I was there, because I definitely don't want to forget this, is I got to see some Asus laptops that were running RTX 50 series cards, one with a 5080, one with a 5090. And to see the performance that you're able to get on a laptop, a gaming laptop. And these are different CPUs, the whole thing. They were doing different variants of laptops. But to see the performance I was getting on an RTX 50 series as well as an RTX 5090, and I've talked about this in the past, I had a Razer Blade 16 that had a 5090 as well. And we were running demos through different games, again, showing off DLSS, multi-frame generation, ultra settings on these laptops, Patrick, like the whole gambit of it. And to see that you're still getting fantastic image quality, high performance, high frames per second at the same time on a gaming laptop was very impressive as well. So if you're not necessarily looking for this big high-end gaming rig, but you want a laptop so you can be more portable, but you also want to take advantage of everything that NVIDIA GeForce provides with DLSS, go grab one of these laptops that has an RTX 50 series card, and I don't think you will be disappointed. Now, something else I got to see, a couple things, is GeForce Now. And you know me with GeForce Now. Huge fan of GeForce Now. It is so impressive to me. It is the premier cloud gaming streaming service out there. I don't think there's any question of that right now. With that Blackwell update, you essentially have an RTX 50 series card, or hell, you have an RTX 5080 card in the cloud, and you're getting 4K resolution, you're getting 100 plus frames per second, you're getting HDR, ultra settings, patch tracing, everything that I just talked about, you're getting that streaming from the cloud. You do not need a high-end gaming PC to take advantage of that. So the announcement that they had here, and I got to see it in action, was now it's on Linux. They had this running on Ubuntu. It's already running on Mac OS. Obviously, it's running on Windows. They have it running on the Steam Deck as well. And you're getting that high performance and quality that you would get from an RTX 50 series card that you had installed on your PC. That's how impressive GeForce Now is. And like I said, the best compliment I can give GeForce Now, because even when I walked into the demo room, is unless they tell you it's running GeForce Now, you wouldn't know. That's how good it looks. I've seen it running on big 65-inch LG OLED televisions, and it just looks great. You wouldn't know the responsiveness, as far as very minimal latency, all of that. Fantastic image quality, fantastic running at high frames, running at high resolution, using all the bells and whistles that comes with NVIDIA RTX GeForce 50 series cards available in GeForce Now. I know it's a huge sales pitch, but that's how much of a fan I am of GeForce Now. And I personally use it all the time. Now, something else I got to do while I was there is also take advantage of virtual reality. So I got, I own an Apple Vision Pro, so I was already familiar with it, but NVIDIA and Apple kind of partnered up to integrate Cloud XR 6.0 game streaming into the Vision OS. So the two examples I was able to do is basically this AR experience where I was in I was flying a plane, and it was the whole full cockpit set up, like hard physical controls along with some virtual controls. And then I'm getting the whole virtual environment that I'm flying around in, as well as I was getting an F1 car. So they had the physical controls simulated of a racing cockpit along with some virtual controls as well. And then I'm on the racing track as well. And this is all streaming from a PC using the Cloud XR 6.0 game streaming tech to the Vision Pro headset, completely wireless. I'm in there racing around, flying a plane, crashing, doing all this stuff. Fan-freaking-tastic. It was really good. Very impressive with that as well. So those were probably the main things. And then I would say the one other thing is just G-Sync Pulsar. Obviously, G-Sync is fantastic paired with VRR. Just going to give you that smooth experience. When you're playing a game, you're not going to see screen tearing when the frame rate might drop or all of a sudden rise up very quickly. It's going to give you a smooth, consistent, experience. G-Sync has been around for a while. They continue to improve it, year after year. And this latest version of G-Sync Pulsar, again, seeing it in motion on a few different monitors was fantastic. Now, the one thing with G-Sync, just so you know, the performance that you're going to get out of G-Sync is hardware related. So depending on the year that you buy. So like I have an LG monitor that has G-Sync. It is from a few years ago. It's not that I can upgrade it to this latest tech that G-Sync Pulsar is doing. So again, if you're looking for the latest and greatest, go out and you'll have to buy one of the current monitors that's taking full advantage of the tech now. But I will admit, I have no complaints with G-Sync, even with the monitor I have right now, but I love the fact that they continue to improve upon that technology. And I think the one last thing that I did not talk about, because even during the 007 First Light event, I asked this during the Q&A, is latency when you're using multi-frame generation, because that honestly would probably be the number one complaint people would have with that, in the sense that when you start enabling multi-frame generation, it just naturally creates latency, right? So that's going to be responsiveness to the, from your control to the actual screen of the game that you're playing. And talking to the devs on that, I was like, hey, have there been any improvements in NVIDIA Reflex, which is paired with DLSS 4.5 to reduce latency when you're playing these games? And what they told me was not necessarily, but even though they're now going to DLSS 4.5 and you have up to 6 times, the latency is essentially capped at 2 times. If I remember that correctly, I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong. So that isn't necessarily a worry. So pair it with Reflex, you're still getting pretty decent latency in there. Again, your responsiveness is damn near 1-to-1. And the thing that I always like to say to keep this stuff in simple terms is, I understand people like, hey, DLSS, it's doing AI and the fake frames and all of that. All I know is this, when I'm playing, it looked good to me. That's all I know. It looks good to me. And one other thing about GeForce Now, as we're kind of looking at that on the screen now, is they're continuing to improve the sign-on experience with that, because obviously you're able to bring in Steam. I think GOG now, they're going to do a single sign-on experience with that as well. So GOG is going to get more improvements. Xbox, and when you're bringing in the Game Pass games, you know, you have a single sign-on experience, but they're not going to be able to do that with GOG as well. But overall, just my GDC experience with NVIDIA GeForce was fantastic. Love being able to actually talk to the engineers, understand the tech that they're doing, see the improvements. Look, the reality of it is this, where gaming, not only on PC, but a console as well, we're going to more of machine learning. We're going to more of these multi-frame gen experiences. DLSS has obviously led the way on that. And to see them, I think I've been using DLSS since the beginning, but I think in partnership with NVIDIA GeForce, I've been using it since the 2080 cards. So going from the 20 series cards into the 30 series, the 40 series, and now here we are with Blackwell with the 50 series, and to see them now get it up to DLSS 4.5 and continue to just increase image quality, to increase performance, being able to play these games at ultra settings with path tracing, so you're getting just the best lighting and reflections with ray reconstruction in there. It's fantastic. It is just taking gaming to another level, and to kind of see that, you know, in action, and the fact that everyone's going to be able to get hands on with DLSS 4.5 when that NVIDIA app drops on March 31st. Like I said, 007 First Light will have DLSS 4.5 native. Control Resonant will have DLSS 4.5 native. Obviously, over the weeks and the months to come, we're going to hear about more games taking advantage of DLSS 4.5. But the best thing about all this is download that NVIDIA beta app on the 31st of March. Use DLSS override. You can start taking advantage of some of these dynamic multi-frame features now. So with all that said, I want to thank NVIDIA GeForce again. Again, this video, this audio has been sponsored by NVIDIA GeForce, so I do thank them for the opportunity. Like I said, go check it out for yourself. We'll all be able to get hands-on in a couple weeks with this, and I think you'll be impressed with what you see. So this is Paris. Thank you for checking this out, and we will talk to you on the next episode.